My guest says the mayor of Atlanta was right to fire Kevin Cochran, his fire chief. Cochran says no, he was fired because of his Christian beliefs.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to read to you out of the Tree of Life version of the Bible, Galatians chapter 5. For freedom, Messiah set us free. So stand firm and do not be burdened by a yoke of slavery. Again, for freedom, Messiah set us free. This is Michael Brown, delighted to be with you on the Line of Fire. We've got a great program planned out for you today. Yesterday was Martin Luther King Day, and I did not address it in any way, make any reference to it on the air yesterday. And I'll tell you why, because I would have, had I been broadcasting live, as I do virtually every day. It's very, very rare because of travel or something like that, that we'll have to pre-record a show. I may pre-record when there's a special topic that I want to cover in depth, and I'm not going to take any calls, but this is live radio. Very, very rare that we have a guest host on. I'm so jealous of our time together. But I was doing major Christian TV recording through the day yesterday. Flew home late last night. So Saturday night, I was burdened. I was focused. I recorded the show for Monday. I don't have any holidays on my calendar. When I look at my computer calendar, I have no holidays, secular, religious. No holidays. The only thing that's on there is going to be family birthdays and anniversaries and otherwise just all my appointments and all the things where I'm going to be, etc. That's the only thing on the calendar. So I didn't realize it was Martin Luther King Day because I wasn't thinking dates or whatever. But I do want to tell you a story about Martin Luther King Day. Back in early 2000, I was in the midst of writing my book, Revolution. The Jesus Call to Change the World. It was originally called Revolution, the Call to Holy War. That was in the pre-9/11 days. The e-book is Revolution, the Jesus Call to Change the World, so everyone understands what we're talking about. I was writing the chapter about freedom, the liberty chapter, how the Jesus Revolution brings liberty, how the Jesus Revolution brings freedom, how the Jesus Revolution sets captives free, and then we go out and impact the society with the message of liberty. And again, same deal. I was completely oblivious to the fact that it was Martin Luther King Day as I'm working on this, but I'm grabbing all these quotes. I'm online grabbing these powerful quotes from Martin Luther King about liberty, about freedom, about societal equity. And I'm grabbing these quotes and I'm putting them in my chapter. And I write a large part of that chapter in my hotel room before preaching that night. I was in Houston. I do this. I'm just blessed and overflowing and charged with this theme of freedom and liberty. And lo and behold, when I finish all of that and all of these quotes from Dr. King, if you own the Revolution book, go to the Freedom chapter and you'll see the quotes from Dr. King that are incorporated into it. It kind of carries the chapter. It was only after doing that that I realized what day it was. So I want to say this to everyone listening, that I'm going to be bringing on a guest. We'll be taking your calls, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. The ultimate liberty, and the one which is most precious to all of us, is liberty from sin, liberty from the tyranny of the flesh, liberty to do the will of God. And that liberty brings liberty in every other area of society. Jesus said, whoever commits sin is the slave of sin. But if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. If you find yourself bound today, if you're bound by a habit, if you're bound by anything in this world, the flesh, you're not free. You're not a free person. I'm telling you, you can find freedom in Jesus. You might say, I'm an atheist. I don't need it. No, no. You're bound in ways you don't know. Freedom comes in a relationship with God. We'll be right back with a special guest. We're going to have a little dialogue here.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown here, 866-34-TRUTH. Going to have an important dialogue about religious liberties. When are they being compromised? When are we exaggerating to say they are? And my guest is Mark Silk. After receiving his PhD in history from Harvard University, he edited the Boston Review, spent 10 years as a reporter, editorial writer, and columnist for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. 1996, he became the founding director of the Leonard E. Greenberg Center for the Study of Religion and Public Life at Trinity College in Hartford, where he's also professor of religion and public life, also the author of Spiritual Politics, Religion in America Since World War II, Unsecular Media, Making News of Religion in America, and along with Andrew Walsh, One Nation, Divisible, How Regional Religious Differences Shape American Politics. Obviously a man with a lot of experience in these areas and with a lot to say. And he had a very different perspective than I did about the firing of former fire chief Kevin Cochran of Atlanta, Kelvin Cochran of Atlanta, fired by Mayor Kasim Reed. So I asked if Professor Silk would be willing to join me on the air to discuss this, and he was more than glad. Dr. Silk, thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire.
Happy to be here, Michael.
All right. So you're based on your background, this is obviously a case of interest to you. You know about the rally that was held in Atlanta. There were some of my colleagues who were there speaking. I was very much in the camp that they were saying that this was ultimately an issue of what Fire Chief Cochran believed and what he expressed in writing. For our listeners who haven't read your take on this, explain why you think the mayor was justified in firing Kelvin Cochran.
Well, just to be clear about this, I think the main point of my blog post was to try to be clear about the difference in terms of the kind of latitude you have to express your religious views if you're a regular citizen, if you're a public employee. I think most people would feel that a public school teacher shouldn't evangelize on behalf of his or her religion to the kids who are there if it's a public school. That's freedom of religion if you don't happen to be the kid's public school teacher. If you're on the street and you want to hand out tracts or do whatever you want, you have that ability. And so Chief Cochran wrote a book which expressed his religious views. He gave the book to a number of his subordinates, including several who didn't ask for them. And that's more or less why he was fired. I think, you know, we don't know all the details, and, you know, it's conceivable that, you know, I didn't say, you know, by all means, Reed was justified in firing him, but I think there's an important issue there, and that's what I wanted to bring out.
Got it. And again, I read what you wrote, and I thought, okay, good, we can have a good constructive dialogue about this, so I'm not characterizing you in of being in a particular camp or representing a particular mindset. So just to be clear then, let's say he had written this book, he held to these particular views based on his understanding of the Bible. In the category of uncleanness, he put homosexual practice along with bestiality and pedophilia. He also spoke in another part of the book, I think a couple of references in 160 pages to these issues about heterosexual promiscuity, about sleeping with other partners, so heterosexual fornication and adultery. He addressed these, and I would say in terms that many conservative Christians would say, yes, they'd be biblical terms. So let's say he wrote the book, gave it out for distribution in his church, but didn't give it out to subordinates, but now everybody knows that he holds to these views. Is that objectionable in your view?
You know, I think one of the issues that arose in this specific case was that he had identified himself on the cover of the book as the fire chief of Atlanta. But let's say, giving your example, that he hadn't done that he just published the book as he did privately under his own name, was essentially distributed you know, within his church and, you know, to whoever exists in the network that a privately published book like that could be done. I think it would have been an extremely different case. My own view would have been that would certainly push it away from being a firing offense. In fact, I think he'd be entitled to do that. The question is whether he's representing himself. And again, I mean, you know, as I appreciate that we're not having a, you know, throwing water balloons at each other here. I think these are tricky questions, and one wants to guarantee, you know, I mean, he's as fire chief, he's entitled to belong to whatever congregation he wants. It might be a very, very conservative, traditional values church, and he gets to teach Sunday school there, and he can preach there. I mean, these are important exercises of religious freedom by him acting in his capacity as a member of society. The question is, when does he become a public official and acting as an agent, as a representative of the government?
And you mentioned in the book, in your article, excuse me, that the mayor says that he didn't get proper approval, that he said he did. And as you said, all those facts will come out. And of course, in point of fact, there was no sign of any discrimination when the mayor's office did an investigation and released the information. There was never a charge of him discriminating against anyone who identified as LGBT. And in fact, he had previously favored disciplining firefighters who stood with Dan Cathy, then the COO of Chick-fil-A, in his statements against same-sex marriage, because they, I guess, put a picture up on Facebook or something like that. So it looked like he was being really even-handed in this. Here's where I struggle, and I've sat down with local gay editors and leaders and had this very conversation. How can we all be out and proud at the same time? Kai Feldblum had said some years back that from her perspective, when the courts were going to have a conflict between same-sex marriage or sexual freedoms and religious freedoms, she saw the courts consistently siding against religious freedoms. And that's the conflict we're having now. For example, the president can openly say, as the president, that based on his understanding of Scripture, a man should be able to marry a man or a woman based on the principles of love. Now, as the biggest public official in our nation, he's taking his religious beliefs, putting them out for the whole nation. And if you disagree, it makes it a little dicey now. That's why I'm concerned about the unequal standards. So how does this play out in your mind?
Well, I think, you know, these things do come down to cases. And as you say, the details, you know, God is in the details, and as is the devil. And we'll have to see, what exactly applied in this case. I think there are some examples of public officials sort of putting their subordinates. For example, if you take a military commander who witnesses to the men in his, command, mm-hmm. That begins. When you have somebody's life, sort of in your hands, that nobody may lodge a complaint against their lieutenant or their captain for proselytizing, but it begins to be problematic when you're commanding people to do things, and you've got more dangerous details and less dangerous details. And, horrible work and less horrible work, and so we really understand that in that kind of context there have to be some limits. I think this is the case of the chief is it's less than open and shut. The main problem is as one of the commenters, a friend of mine who writes editorials for a living, said, this would be a more interesting case if he hadn't sort of distributed the book to subordinates who didn't want it. One person, apparently, according to the report from the law department of of the city. You know, he sort of gave the book to somebody who he was counseling about his promotion to, you know, assistant
right.
chief or something. You know, those, you know, using the book in the context of subordinates in that way, I think, is problematic. And again, you know, these are questions that we can have debates about. If they were simple, we'd have everybody would know what the First Amendment tells us to do. But they're not.
All right, I want to probe this a little bit more. We'll give you a couple of quotes from Mayor Kasim Reed. My guest is Professor Mark Silk. I want you to respond to a couple of quotes, and then there's a recent editorial in the New York Times and Frank Bruni in the New York Times, which to me, we're basically being told, you can have your religion, but keep it in the closet. So we'll get responses from Professor Mark Silk. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire. Phone number to call. I won't be taking calls for a few minutes. I want to give maximum time to my guest, Professor Mark Silk. As we're talking about religious liberty, freedom, responsibilities of a public servant, phone number 866-348-7884. Please join me tomorrow. Don't miss the broadcast. I'm going to have Newsweek journalist Kurt Eichenwald joining me. He is the one who wrote the controversial article about the Bible. Came out at Christmas time. Newsweek then posted my very lengthy rebuttal response, which has been the most shared or the second most shared article on their site for some days now. And we're going to have a conversation that I think will be an eye-opener for many. That'll be on tomorrow's broadcast. Again, back to my guest. Dr. Silk, let me throw out just a little different scenario, and then a couple of specific quotes and statements for you to respond to. Let's say that you had a lesbian fire chief, and the lesbian fire chief was now going to be marrying her partner and encouraged the folks that said, hey, you're all my family here. You're all invited to come to the wedding ceremony, and it's going to be held next Saturday. Certainly, in a major city, you're going to have many, many conservative Christians or maybe people of other faiths who are conservative or just conservative moral people who will be very offended by that and put off by it and feel, okay, if I don't show up, how is that going to look? But I don't want to show up because I don't approve of this. Is that a wrong thing to do for a public official, even though it's not specifically a religious issue?
Well, look, I think what we're facing today is a shift in the legal standard that is applied, and we've been through this kind of thing before. I mean, suppose we take your example. I'm not trying to evade it, but
no, that's
let's
fine.
Let's suppose you know, a few decades ago in Richmond, Virginia, a white fire chief invites. Is about to marry, now that it's legal after the Loving decision, a heterosexual marriage. However, the wife happens to be an African American, so this is a mixed marriage coming in the wake of a decision where, you know, you have a lot of, you know, a fair number of conservative white people who mm-hmm. have believed that that miscegenation is condemned by their religion, that God intended the races to be separate. Would that have been appropriate? You know, I guess my view of that is, you know, maybe the fire chief in that case would be prudent in a way to not invite people who he felt, you know, would find this difficult. On the other hand, it's legal. It's a legal marriage. And if he's inviting everybody above a certain grade in the fire department, then that's okay. You know, I do think that what one asks of public officials is some degree of prudence and recognition of the larger the sensibilities of the larger community. Would it be a firing offense if that invitation were made? I would think not. I would hope that, you know, if somebody objected to attending a same-sex marriage of the fire chief, that fire chief wouldn't discriminate. And I do think, incidentally, that the fact that the record shows that Chief Cochran wasn't discriminatory in his behavior, you know, redounds to his favor. I mean, that's right. Evidence, of his being okay. So, you know, I think, though, I don't want to dance around this. It's not certain to me that he had to be fired. He was suspended for a month. He seemed to speak about the case when he wasn't supposed to during that month, and that may have weighed in the mayor's decision. But I think this is a reasonably close call, although the distribution of the books for me is a problem.
Right, and of course we have to get all the facts out and hear both sides about distribution of books, because it seems with a 30-year career that Chief Cochran had conducted himself carefully. The great concern I've had, I began saying about 10 years ago that those who came out of the closet fighting in their minds for what is simply equality and tolerance and acceptance in society, those who came out of the closet want to put us in the closet who oppose. And initially I was mocked and vilified for saying that. And a few years ago, the tone began to change. No matter how gracious, respectful I might be, the tone began to change to bigots like you belong in the closet. Now, I understand when you gave the illustration about interracial marriage that you were not necessarily saying that gay is the new black. You may have that argument or not. You were just giving a worthy comparison for consideration. And then, of course, I'd look at that and nuance it a little bit differently in the end. But my own impression is that if Chief Cochran had simply preached a sermon in his church and the church had put it on YouTube and the YouTube went out and people heard what he believed, that there would have been the same outcry. And the quote from journalist Frank Bruni in the New York Times, a regular editorialist there, he said, "I support the right of people to believe what they do and say what they wish in their pews, homes, and hearts." So that's the language that concerns me. Believe what they do and say what they wish, but don't say it in public, in the public square, just pews, homes, and hearts. Hey, we've just got a minute left. Give it back to you for a closing thought.
I think the problem in the era of social media, including, you know, Facebook and YouTube and all the rest of it, makes the line between public and private very much more difficult, and we're all trying to struggle with that in many ways.
Yeah, we are. Thank you so much for your nuanced words. Appreciate it, and look forward to following what you're writing in the future.
No, thank you very much for having me.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Phone lines are now officially open for those that want to get in on the conversation. All right, so we got such a wonderful response last week to the Messianic Jewish Family Bible, the Tree of Life version. We got such a great response to it. Introductions to each chapter, each book, outlines, beautiful illustrations within, but it is the Tree of Life version. Now, when Yeshua saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, from Matthew 5, that's verse 1, verse 17, "Do not think that I came to abolish the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or seraph," and with a note as to what that means, "shall ever pass away from the Torah until all things come to pass." It's beautifully produced, highest quality, made to last for a lifetime. I always just like feeling the cover and everything engraved on it. It's normally $69.95 plus postage. Some ministries you have to send a love gift of $100 or more, $60, and we're paying the postage. Get one just the rest of this week. 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or on my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the line of fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-348-7884. By the way, it is Tuesday. We often devote this time to theology and teaching. Because of my special guest tomorrow, Kurt Eichenwald, is going to be taking up our entire 2 hours of the broadcast. So whatever part you get, whatever you miss, just go to the website, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest broadcast to catch all of that. But I do want to open up the phones. If there's anything you want to ask me, Bible, theology related, something you're curious about, I will be taking some calls as well. A bunch of other things I want to address and discuss too. Let us go to West Richland, Washington. Sean, welcome to the line of fire.
Yeah, how you doing?
Very well, sir.
I'm a recovering alcoholic addict, and I'm in search of my higher power. And today's just one of them days that is really hard for me. I'm 165 days clean and sober, and it's like I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go, and so forth. I'm just, I'm in search of my higher power, God, and I don't know where to go.
Sean, how did you come to call me today?
Actually, your number, believe it or not, it came up on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And it just came up right in front of me when I was sitting there looking, and I was looking away, and then all of a sudden it popped up.
Well, Sean, this could be God himself at work in your life. Before I go any further, friends, everybody listening, would you right now say a prayer for Sean that this would be the day of his deliverance and freedom and new birth? Sean, would you really like to know who God is personally for yourself, not just as an abstract higher power, but as your heavenly Father?
Yes, I would.
Do you believe that he exists, that there really is a God who made this universe and made you? Are you there? Hello, Sean. Whoa. We just lost Sean somehow. We shall see if we get back to us. Not sure what's happening. There's just a phone connection. Didn't hear anything click or lose him. Maybe he just was at a loss of words for a moment there. But let's pray for Sean. And let me just say this again to everybody listening. I started the broadcast with a proclamation of freedom. I said that there is freedom in Jesus. I just had it on my heart to start there at the beginning of the show. I said it's Martin Luther King Day. Yesterday was, and a time that we celebrate freedom in America, and we look to continue to bring freedom where we don't have it in America. And I made the comments that true freedom, ultimate freedom, is only found in Jesus. Sean, if you're back, let me just speak to you for a minute, and then we'll talk again on the other side of the break. I started getting high at the age of 14, 1969. I started getting high at the age of 14. At the age of 15, I was shooting heroin. At the age of 16, I was radically changed, radically born again. And by God's grace, I'm free. I am not a recovering drug addict, not because of the great willpower of Mike Brown, but because of the great power of God. Not because I am such a disciplined human being, but because God came into my life in such a way to make me miserable in my sin, and to make me thrill beyond words with my new life in Jesus. If you're listening to me right now and you're addicted, be it to drugs or alcohol or pornography or something else, something that may not be as ugly in the sight of society but just as binding, there is liberty in Jesus. And your new life means you're not free to do your will, you're free to do his will. That's the place of freedom. And it's only found truly in Jesus. We'll be right back.
Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we have reconnected with Sean in West Richland, Washington, D.C. And let's stay in prayer for Sean to the duration of this call and those who have it on their hearts to pray from afterwards. Let's do that. Sean, so glad that you called. You identified yourself as a recovering alcohol addict. And how many days is it that you've been clean now, Sean?
160.
43 plus years ago, I was a heavy drug user to the point of shooting heroin and cocaine and smoking pot day and night using LSD and speed. And I've been completely free by the power of God since then. I used to drink heavily and here and there, of course, completely free from that. And it hasn't been because I have such great willpower. It's because God's made himself real in my life. So, Sean, you believe that there is a God who created this universe and who made you?
Yes.
And do you believe that over the course of your life you have disappointed him and sinned against him, done wrong things that have hurt others and hurt yourself and hurt him?
Yes.
And do you believe what the Bible says about Jesus? Are you familiar with what the scriptures teach about Jesus?
Yes, I do.
So do you believe that for every wrong thing you ever did, every wrong thing I ever did, that Jesus died on the cross to pay for those sins?
Yes.
Do you also believe he rose from the dead?
Yes, I do.
Is there anything stopping you from having him as the Lord of your life where he forgives you, gives you new life, and you become a child of God? God becomes your father, and you live in close relationship with God, and you want to please him and do his will. Is there anything stopping you from doing that?
Right now, it's I'm from Washington State, not Washington, D.C.
Ah, okay, got it. Are you still there, Sean? All right, once again, if it's what happened before, you can hear us, but we can't hear you. Not sure what's going on, but this is important. We're going to, all right, Betsy, back to work on your end to try to figure out what's up. If we can't hear you, you'll have to call back and try to call in from another line. Father, I just pray for Sean right now. He calls me because he sees our number on Facebook. I ask you to work in his life. Bring him to yourself. May this be the day of new life, of transformation. If he's known you but not closely, may this be the day he truly comes to know you. I think we're going to try to connect one more time with Sean. But let me speak to everyone else. Slavery is not what it means to follow God. Yes, we are his bond slaves, but we are now doing what he created us to do. We are now doing what he made us to do. I remember hearing Christopher Hitchens debate a couple different times, watched his debate with William Lane Craig and some of his debates with others. And one of his big issues was free. Get free. You need freedom. Think for yourselves. Be free. And don't just follow this servile religion. Don't just make yourself a slave to this God. Be free. And I thought, Christopher Hitchens is not free. He's a human being. He's a flawed human being. Whatever his issues are, be it drinking, be it sex, be it pride, be it who knows what, he's not free because he's a child of this world and therefore bound in some way by the flesh, by the world. I'm totally free. I'm 100% free to the extent I enjoy that freedom in God. Oh, I am his servant. I live to do his will. I don't decide which direction my life is going to go because I live to do the will of God. But that is the place of freedom. All right, one more time, back to Sean. Not sure what's happening with the phone there, sir, but when I asked, is there anything stopping you from taking that plunge and having Jesus as your Lord and God as your Father, you were beginning to ask to answer that, and then we couldn't hear you anymore.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
I don't... There's so many religions out there, and I don't know which one to go to. I've been to different churches when I was a kid. Right now it feels like I've woken up out of a 40-year coma in life. I've been married for 13 years. I didn't get married till I was 27. And I have a wife that's stuck by me, and she had a heart attack this last year. At 37 years old. And
oh my.
Stress and life in general is just it's difficult. A lot of people are judging me because of what I've done in the past. I live in a little town. It's like I said, in Washington, it's Tri-Cities. It's, if anybody knows, it's Hanford area.
Uh-huh.
U.S. Ecology and stuff is out here. It's where the bomb was done out here in the Hiroshima bomb and stuff. And I've been, like I said, I feel like I've been a 40-year coma waking up. I have four beautiful daughters. And I just don't know where to go now. And
yeah, well,
you know, I'm going to my AA meetings and everything else. And I just, you know, it's hard.
I understand. I absolutely understand. And I know, how long have you struggled with alcohol, Sean?
Since I was 20. I didn't start doing anything until I was 19.
Okay, so a 20-year struggle, married, the trauma of seeing your young wife have a heart attack, not wanting to destroy your life, your marriage. You know now with four daughters what your life means, the importance of how you live and how you affect others. So the unfolding of your life, Sean, is going to mean the unfolding of your daughter's life. If you go in the right direction, it's going to help them immensely to go in that direction. You go in the wrong direction, it makes life a lot more difficult for them. So you're right to take this seriously. But let me suggest this to you. Only Jesus died for your sins, meaning there are other religions that are beautiful, that have beautiful traditions and amazing teachings, but they don't have Jesus in the center. God came into our world through Jesus. And rather than condemning us for what he did, he came into our world and shed his blood for us. That's how ugly our sin is. It costs the life of the Son of God. Sin is literally deadly. Jesus died to pay for it all. Only he rose from the dead, and he is alive right now. And if you call out to him, he will come into your life. If you genuinely say, God, save me today. I don't want to live like this. I don't want to go back. And it's not just alcohol. It's your whole life. I don't want to go back to where I was. I want to know you. He rewards those who diligently seek him. Those who cry to him, he hears. When you cry out to him, it won't be Allah, the God of Islam, who answers you. It won't be some Hindu God who answers you. It'll be the God of the Bible who answers you. And Sean, look at it like this. You end up on Facebook. Why you're on my whatever page it was you're on, you end up seeing the number here. This is God reaching out to you, Sean. This is God seeing the cry of your heart, and probably there are other people praying for you that you don't even know are praying for you. And that's why you can be confident. You may not be 100% sure. I mean, you believe these things, but you have questions about other religions. But if you will walk in the direction of the light that you have, Sean, if you will from here say, okay, God, right now, the connection you made with me, having me call this guy on the radio, and a day when you're able to get through and we can talk to you, this is God at work in your life. And then what I want to encourage you to do is this, all right? When we get off for break, which will be a minute from now, okay?
Okay.
If you just cry out to God, I don't want you to do it on the air. I don't want to put words in your mouth, okay? But if just alone, you say, God, have mercy on me. I've sinned. I've blown it. I confess it. I do believe Jesus died for me. Forgive me. God, I've sinned. Forgive me. I confess Jesus as my Lord. Save me. Give me a new life. It won't just be the old Sean fighting and using willpower to overcome alcohol. There'll be a new power, not on the outside of you, but on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit coming into your life to help you and empower you. And here's what I want you to do, all right? If you really pray, if you say those words sincerely in your own words to God, confessing your sin, asking Him to forgive you, and asking Jesus to become the Lord of your life, give us a call back. I want to send you something to read to help you get grounded, to help you to think clearly. And then right now I'm asking everybody, let's pray. We got a break coming up right now. Let's pray for Sean that this would be the day of salvation. And Sean, when you do call back to speak with Betsy, also let her know how you ended up on the Facebook page. Were you on my page, or did our link just appear on yours? Today's the day, Sean.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm looking at my screen here. I think it's Sean calling back. Let's just stay here for a moment. It seems we've had a bit of an unexpected turn in the direction of things today. I planned on discussing some others. Saw Sean's call and thought, okay, wasn't planning on going that direction, but it's not every day that something like that happens. Let me read to you from Romans chapter 6. Paul says this, after explaining that sin will not be master over us because we're not under the law but under grace. What then, he says, shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that to whatever you yield yourselves as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to what you obey? Whether it is sin resulting in death or to obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching under which you were placed, and after you were set free from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness. Now, you see what Paul's saying. And Sean, okay, awesome. I'm not going to speak to you again on the air. Betsy's going to get your contact info. I want to send you something to read to really help establish you. And I want to encourage you, if you have a Bible, take out your Bible. If not, you can get it anywhere. If not, let us know. We'll send you one. But take out your Bible. And just start reading in the New Testament. If you haven't read before, the book of Proverbs, start reading there. And then talk to God as if He is right there next to you. Share your heart with Him. Tell Him what you're thinking, what you're feeling, the weakness, the apprehension. Just talk to Him. You'll find He is very near to you. And then remember, if you've truly asked Him to save you and forgive you, He is not some distant deity in some theological textbook. He's not just a higher power. He is the Heavenly Father. He's the one who created us. He's the one who put destiny and purpose into us as human beings. And He's the one who sent His Son, Jesus, to die for us so that we could have everlasting life. And Sean, yeah, just looking at this. So you're on your own Facebook page, and somebody somehow shares with you this number to call. Sean, that's the hand of God. That is the hand of God. And I want to pray for you once more, all right? I want to pray for you once more. Right now, Father, I pray for Sean in Jesus' name that this day would be the day he looks back to as the day of freedom, the day of deliverance, the day when Almighty God reached out to him and said, it's your time. The day when the power of alcohol was not just diminished, but absolutely broken over his life. As children of God, we pray right now for complete freedom. We come against any demonic force that would seek to destroy him. We proclaim liberty and freedom in Jesus' name No more drunkenness, no more drinking for life by the power of God. And Sean, a key thing to do is renew your mind, meaning read the scriptures. As you read the scriptures, you fill your mind with new thoughts. You fill your mind with a new way to live. You fill your mind with a new way to relate to things. And there'll be some principles you learn through AA that are helpful, but this will go far beyond that. And I'd love to hear from you, even a month from now, to let us know how you're doing, because God has reached out for you. The way you got our number, God has reached out to you today. And we're going to be sending you some things, but in the meantime, just be talking to God, share with your wife what happened and how it happened. And I believe you're going to see some amazing things come to pass in the coming days, right? Betsy's going to get your contact info. And this is a day of freedom and deliverance here on the Line of Fire. Oh, boy. Those of you who are listening and your own lives were dramatically changed by the gospel, you can rejoice and you can recognize when God intervenes. You can just say words. You can lead someone in the sinner's prayer that doesn't save anybody. But when someone truly cries out to God from their heart, God saves. He hears those who cry out. Those who confess Jesus as Lord, believe God, raised him from the dead. Scripture is clear they will be saved. So Paul made clear, you got to serve somebody. You got to serve somebody. One way or another, you're going to be serving flesh, devil, sin, or God. Serving God, you're free. Here, I once saw this illustration. Smoking cigarettes is not the worst thing you can do in the world. I don't believe it's right in God's sight because of the destructive, addictive nature of it. But I use this illustration because it's vivid. Here's a man smoking a cigarette. Someone once pointed to the cigarette and said, "Little master," and then pointed to the person and said, "Big slave." Little master. Big slave. Sir, God did not create you to be a slave to pornography, to be watching vile and vulgar things on the screen, people having open sex acts on the screen in front of you. God didn't create you for that. Ma'am, God did not create you to have that bottle hidden in your house in several different places and the kids aren't looking, others aren't looking to take a swig and you find yourself completely addicted to alcohol. God didn't create you for that. And whatever your addiction is, whatever your slavery is, whatever your bondage is, he didn't create you to be addicted to gambling. No, he created you to serve him. And when you serve him, that's where you find freedom. So if you're not free today, Oswald Chambers once said, make it your habit to have no habits. If you're not free, I encourage you, wherever you are, cry out to him for freedom. Paul says this to believers, but now, having been set free from sin and having become enslaved to God, you have your fruit resulting in holiness. And the outcome is eternal life. For since payment is death, but God's gracious gift is eternal life in Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. And you will find great freedom as you know God personally and have his word in your heart. If you don't have a copy of the Messianic Jewish Family Bible, I've just been reading from it as I was reading scriptures. I wanted to read you from that. We've reduced the price. We're paying the postage. It's literally hot off the press, brand new shipment just about to arrive for us. And they're absolutely beautiful. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Watch the video, find out more. My bottom line today, it is for freedom that Jesus set us free. Don't be entangled again in a yoke of bondage, be it legalism, be it the power of sin. Oh, the plot thickens. It's not just Ellen DeGeneres who's going after my friend Larry Tomczak, but now Anderson Cooper.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I am delighted to be with you today on The Line of Fire. Just had something very special happen in the first hour, but first, the phone number, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Okay, I had pre-recorded yesterday's show because I was going to be recording several shows, live show, and then recording some shows for Daystar TV, focusing on Can You Be Gay and Christian. It's very, very rare that I will accept any engagement that takes me away from live radio. Sometimes on a day of overseas travel, I have to pre-record a show or have a guest host. But again, as you know, it's very, very rare. But I felt it was important to do these shows. I'm sure they'll be up on demand on Daystar, daystartv.com. And you'll be able to watch the shows in the coming days. There are a few different ones that we did. But I didn't realize, because I don't have holidays on my calendar, I didn't realize that Monday would be Martin Luther King Day. So I recorded the show late Saturday night, flew out Sunday, and then flew back Monday night. And first thing I did in the first hour was just address this and say, hey, I did want to say some things about Martin Luther King Day and talked about something that happened back in 2001 when I was writing a book on, happened to be that same day. I told a story about it. But I also read from the scriptures. I read from the scriptures from Galatians, the fifth chapter, that it is for freedom that Messiah has set us free. And then the call not to be entangled with the yoke of bondage, there being the yoke of legalism. Well, later in the show, we get a phone call from a gentleman named Sean. He's calling from Washington State. He identified himself as a recovering alcohol addict. He had been free for 160 days, started drinking heavily at the age of 20, and now married 13 years, his wife standing with him in the midst of the marriage, four beautiful daughters, as he described them. And here he is, now struggling. His wife stood through him through his alcohol battles, and she has a heart attack at the age of 37. So another trauma to live through. He doesn't want to go back to drinking. He's going to AA. He's trying to find his higher power. And while he's on Facebook, somebody shares my number with him on Facebook, and he calls the broadcast. How wild is that? He's not someone on my Facebook page, on the Ask Dr. Brown page. So shared the gospel with him, spoke with him. He had questions about other religions, but did believe the heart of the gospel. When we came to a break, I asked him off the air just to, during the off-the-air time, to get alone with God, to cry out, to ask God to forgive him. He called back saying he had done that. And it was just as, the whole theme was freedom. Freedom, true freedom is only found in Jesus. So I believe God has done something real in his life. If for no other reason, I said, look, God reached out to you, Sean. God reached out to you by having my number appear on Facebook for you to call. And for, look, what if it was sports radio? You know, and suddenly someone shares this with him after the football playoff games on Sunday. Hey, you need to find out about this. And, you know, well, I don't know. Why did that number come? Is that a sign? Well, that's not going to help in any way. Teen Challenge, of course. A caller wanted to mention that. Yeah, of course, we're quite aware of that. But we're going to send some material to Sean to help. Right, we come back. Now it's Anderson Cooper who's going after my friend Larry Tomczak. Stay tuned.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My friends, I just got an email a moment ago from Kurt Eichenwald. He is the journalist who wrote the article in Newsweek, the Christmas article, that created such a firestorm of controversy. Many called it a hit piece against the Bible. I wrote an article strongly against what he had written, published in WorldNet Daily, and then reached out to Newsweek and said, how about posting a rebuttal? Newsweek immediately wrote back, very happy to do it. In fact, I interacted with their editors over the weekend. They were really pleased with the distribution the article has gotten. It's been the number one or number two most shared article over the last week for several days. Now, right now, it's number two. I'm behind a short article, I Am Marxist, Says Dalai Lama. Otherwise, response to Newsweek on the Bible is the second most shared. It's the third most read on the site. For several days, it was the most shared of all. I think it's got about the most comments. I'm not saying it's such an amazing article. I'm saying that is the level of interest in it, and Newsweek was really pleased. In fact, the senior editor said, hey, maybe more people will read the Bible now. So I'll be talking to Kurt Eichenwald. If you have issues with the article, if you want to call in, if you want to speak with him directly, we'll be doing that the entire broadcast tomorrow. Okay, want to shift gears here and mention that my friend Larry Tomczak, we have been really close the last 20-ish years, but we knew each other for about 10 years before that. And Larry's a dear friend. He has pastored churches. He has done evangelistic outreach. He has written books. He has taught on family. He has addressed cultural issues. And he wrote an editorial piece, op-ed piece. He writes them regularly, as I do. And appeared in several different places, including the Christian Post, and it addressed Ellen DeGeneres. And anyway, she took issue with it, and then in her own way, playing fun with it, but also you could see she took what he said seriously. She addressed him on her massive TV show, God knows how many viewers she has, by name, and addressed him. Well, Larry came on my show last week. We have the video up of that. If you go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, if you go there, you can listen to the audio, but we just have it on the YouTube channel. So you click on latest video where Larry responds to Ellen, and he's actually putting out a video on this too that we'll let you know about shortly. Well, he texts me to let me know that Anderson Cooper has now addressed him. So I spoke with Larry earlier. He may address Anderson Cooper in this new video as well, but I want to address Anderson Cooper on a few things right now as well. So listen, Anderson Cooper, I will jump in and interact here and there along the way. This is on his Ridiculous.
Time now for the Ridiculous, and tonight I'd like to address something sometimes referred to as the gay agenda. Now, I've never actually been to the secret meeting where the gays plot their agenda, though I imagine the catering is quite amazing. But thanks to someone named Larry Tomczak, my eyes have been opened.
All right, hang on. Mr. Cooper, are you saying that there is no gay activist agenda? Are you actually telling us that there is no gay activist agenda? That all of the gay activist organizations with their massive funding, like the Human Rights Campaign, like Lambda Legal, like the Gay and Lesbian Task Force, like GLAAD, originally the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, and on and on and on, and the gay activist leaders who've put out their vision for freedom, equality, redefining marriage, homosexual adoption, etc., that there is no gay agenda? There was a civil rights agenda, wasn't there? There's been a feminist agenda. Liberal leaders have an agenda. Conservative leaders have an agenda. You're telling me all these things, all these societal changes just happened? They just happened on their own? And there is actually no gay activist agenda? Seriously? My book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, starts, opening chapter is called The Stealth Agenda, and I have quote after quote after quote after quote after quote after quote after quote from gay activist leaders, including those openly speaking about their agenda, but there is no agenda. Back to Anderson Cooper.
Larry says there's an avalanche sweeping across our society today. It's not a trickle, it's a tsunami. The mixed metaphor, by the way, is all Larry's. In an op-ed for the Christian Post, he writes, and I quote, "The indoctrination and propaganda coming from those advocating a gay lifestyle in our country, classrooms, and culture are increasing. All of us need to take note and take action to guard those we love. We are being bombarded."
Ah, okay. Is now Anderson Cooper may believe this is a good thing. He may believe this is a fine thing. He may believe that this is in the best interest of America. But is he saying there is no bombardment? Is he actually saying there is no bombardment through the media, in the schools, that literally there is no bombardment? He may think it's good. He may think it's a positive indoctrination. But does he honestly think there is no indoctrination taking place?
You can tell Larry is being serious because the B's are capitalized. Now, look, I don't know what a gay lifestyle is, just like I don't know what a straight lifestyle is. Seems like all the gay people I know, just like all the straight people I know, live all different kinds of lives. I know gay police officers and doctors, gay Marines and ministers, even a couple of gay TV news anchors, believe it or not. And all the ones I know just want to be able to live their lives with the same kind of rights and responsibilities as everyone else. Now, Larry says that indecent behavior is being conveyed to unsuspecting children and points to the fact that both Dancing with the Stars and Survivor have had gay contestants, and that Ellen DeGeneres celebrates her marriage, and yes, by the way, he puts marriage in quotation marks. Ellen talked about other examples on her show recently.
All right, so now he's actually going to quote from what Ellen has to say, so he's got a little clip from her. But again, just a couple of things that I want to address along the way. The reason that Larry and I put the term marriage in quotes is because marriage is not the union of any two people. Marriage is the union of a man and a woman. That is what it has always meant. To redefine it so radically is to make it meaningless. There is a new article that is out. There is a new article that is out in New York Magazine, What It's Like to Date Your Dad. Yes, incest is the new fad, the new in thing, the new thing we need to be open to. If love is love, then consensual adults should be able to do what they want. After all, who are they harming? Well, how are you going to turn around and say, well, you're bigoted if you don't agree with that? You're biased? You're what, an incestophobe or whatever the term would be? I don't know if there is a technical term. There are good reasons to keep the wall up of taboo against incestuous relationships, be they, even if they are adult and consensual. But Mr. Cooper, when Larry refers to the gay lifestyle, what he means is that homosexual practice is different than heterosexual practice, and that in many ways, homosexual relationships are different than heterosexual relationships in that, say, men with men, and Mr. Cooper, this is a community you live in the midst of, you will find more promiscuity among bisexuals and among homosexuals. You'll find more instability in relationships simply because you do not have that right combination of male-female. That's why folks like Dan Savage and Jay Michelson advocate either open marriage or being, quote, monogamish, having multiple partners. In fact, let's grab this one quote from Dan Savage, clip number 4, why he thinks monogamy is ridiculous. This is back in 2010. He's being interviewed by Max Miller. Clip number 4.
I'm conservative. I think that we should do what we can to preserve marriages and long-term relationships. And one way to do that is to encourage people to have more realistic attitudes about sexual exclusivity.
In other words, don't just think that you and your partner are going to be faithful for life, because people aren't wired like that. Certainly men aren't wired like that. So if you had more realistic expectations, then you could keep your marriages more solid. Hey, ladies, If you realize your husband needs a fling every so often, or maybe wants to bring another person into the relationship every so often, have more realistic expectations, and that will keep your marriage healthier. There are differences. I'm not saying that there's not love. I'm not saying that there's not commitment. I'm not saying that gays and lesbians don't live normal lives like everybody else in many other respects. Of course, neighbors, friends, coworkers, family members, of course. But to say it's all the same all across the board, no, really, that's not true. Okay, I've got more to say to Anderson Cooper when we come back right here in Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, if you have a biblical or theological question you'd like to call in today, the phone lines are open, 866-34-TRUTH. Have you read my two latest articles? One that came out Monday on New York Times editorial, basically saying, keep your religion in the closet. If you haven't seen that article, please take a look at it, share it with your friends. And then one I wrote while flying home from Texas last night, it's called I Am Charlie versus I Am a Jew. It's up on townhall.com. You'll see it by going to my latest article. And I ask a simple question there, stating this: as opposed to the massive worldwide show of solidarity with the Charlie Hebdo journalists who were murdered by Islamic terrorists in Paris this month, there was no such show of solidarity when four religious Jews were slaughtered by Islamic terrorists as they prayed in their synagogue in Jerusalem last November. Why? I asked some very disturbing questions there. So again, you can see that article, read it by going to AskDrBrown, askdrbrown.org, and clicking on latest article. All right, let me get back to the Anderson Cooper clip. Right at the end of, I'm playing a clip from Ellen DeGeneres, back to Anderson Cooper as he addresses my friend Larry Tomczak.
That's right, I'm in there as well, me and my constant boasting. Larry Tomczak has a solution for avoiding this gay problem. He recommends that parents turn off the TV and turn on the DVD player so their kids can watch wholesome shows like I Love Lucy and Leave It to Beaver. Now listen, I agree with Larry. I grew up watching I Love Lucy and I'm as straight as they come. As for the Beave, I never tuned into that. It just never sparked my interest for some reason.
All right, Mr. Cooper. First, Larry Tomczak is not saying that if you watch I Love Lucy that you'll grow up straight rather than gay. He's not saying that. He's saying that there is a bombardment of all kinds of stuff coming our way through the airwaves, and it's often in your face, and it's often as direct and overt as could be. And there are scriptwriters, there are others who really want to make sure they get a certain message out. Look, I have documented in A Queer Thing Happened to America, just reading through transcripts of shows and just searching online and then looking at things or something I may have happened to watch. And wow, I was shocked to see it. You know, just some drama, some criminal drama or something like that. And next thing, there are these gay themes woven in. You know, one in 10 is gay and no one ever changes. Yeah, the ones who change, they're only hypocrites. And then it ends up, you know, some Christian fundamentalist is some criminal and trying to, you know, it's just these plots just written that just happened. What about GLAAD? Initially stood for, oh, it was great. Originally stood for Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. I nicknamed the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement, but they monitor what's on TV. They monitor what's in the movies. They say this is objectionable. This is not. They monitor these things. One major network has now said that all of their employees, they will have 6%. 6% of their employees must be gay or lesbian so that they can be in keeping with the population. No, according to the biggest survey that's been ever been done, the biggest survey done by our government, the National Health Interview Survey, the government's premier tool for annually assessing Americans' health and behaviors in cooperation with gay organizations, ask questions. These are privately asked. This is anonymous in terms of the information that comes forth. 1.6% of adults identify as gay or lesbian. 0.7% consider themselves bisexual. So that's 2.3% total and 1.6% gay and lesbian. The UK did a survey and came up with the exact same figure, 1.6%. But here is a company now, a media company, a major channel, saying that 6% of their employees must be gay or lesbian to meet an alleged population quota. Just by the way. Billy Crystal, comedian Billy Crystal, who played a gay role something like 40 years ago. Billy Crystal has come out and said last couple of days that the gay scenes are too much for his taste on TV and things are being pushed forward too much. I was talking to somebody before doing TV yesterday, and she said someone recommended a new show. What is it? Murder, She Wrote, or some murder show. I forget what the name was. And it takes you into the mind of a murderer or something like that. I'll get the exact details for you. And she said that she watched a couple of shows, but then it was no, not Criminal Minds, some other thing with murder in the title. I'm almost sure about that. Anyway, she said that the you'll find it, Joey, or Matt will. She said that it was so aggressively pushing forward homosexual characters, not just as murderers, you know, but just, or the scenes or the couples or whatever. And then when she looked into it, she read the scriptwriter and said, yeah, we want to push this particular mindset. So to deny the existence of it, to me, is to be in denial. Anderson Cooper's a literate guy. He's a newscaster. He's an anchorman. He's, you know, covers all this major news, breaking news. He's in the know. Is he saying it doesn't exist? Is he saying that CNN is not biased in their coverage of these issues? Let's listen a little bit more.
I don't know why. Anyway, those were the good old days when gay people could be arrested for going to a bar, fired from their jobs, which actually they still can in many states, and live life largely in the shadows. Good times. Larry may also like the new TLC show, all about men who are naturally attracted to other men but decide to marry women anyway. It's called My Husband's Not Gay, and some of the couples were on Good Morning America explaining their very reasonable decisions.
Every time I got to the core of who I am, I knew that I wanted to be married to a woman, and I knew that I wanted children, and I wanted to be a father, and I wanted to be called daddy when I come home.
For the record, there's plenty of gay people who are having kids these days. And by the way, if you're a gay guy who wants to be called daddy, you don't necessarily have to get married to a woman.
Ah, all right. Let me... How to get away with murder. How to get away with murder. Thank you. One of our faithful listeners just sent me a note here. All right, Mr. Cooper, I don't doubt that there are gay parents who love their kids. And I don't doubt that a gay man, when he hears child call him daddy, doesn't feel that tremendous warmth and that tremendous sense of solidarity with that child. I can only say this, it's very sad that you cannot, with your partner, reproduce a child that is the unique image of you and your partner. And through an act of love and embrace and holy sexuality, come together and produce offspring that reflects that act of love and your lifelong commitment to each other. It is different, and it's something, sadly, that someone in a homosexual relationship can't experience. That is, to me, sad, and telling again that something is wrong, that something is missing, that God has something better. And if someone's same-sex attracted, they're same-sex attracted, and yet they say, I want to marry someone of the opposite sex and produce children, they should get all the support, encouragement they can to help them deal with the root of their attractions and overcome them.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. May I encourage you not just to stop doing wrong things, to stop doing bad things, to stop filling your mind with unclean things, but to fill your mind with good things, to fill your mind with God's truth, to fill your mind with God's word. It's not just a matter of putting away what's wrong. I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do that. Oh, okay, a lot of things we shouldn't do. Glad you don't. I don't either, by God's grace. However, that's not what it means to follow Jesus. We must fill ourselves with his truth, with his goodness, with his love, with his word. I want to take a moment to read to you from Psalm 119. So if you're going to watch entertainment, better to watch something that's wholesome than something that's not wholesome. For example, this show, How to Get Away with Murder. Again, I'm not familiar with the show, but I just typed in during the very short one-minute break we had, I typed in the words, How to Get Away with Murder and gay. And a flood of sites came up. Racy gay scenes in How to Get Away with Murder draw a following, New York Times. And it's talking about, well, enough said with the title. And as I'm looking at these, How to Get Away with Murder creator here. Let's look at what this person has to say. How to Get Away with Murder creator. Get used to two men kissing. Out TV writer-producer Peter Norwalk is using the gay character in the show he created, How to Get Away with Murder, to push his gay agenda. And that is a wonderful thing since equality is his agenda. Last night's premiere featured a brief scene. Okay. Yeah, he's saying it overtly. I knew I wanted to push the envelope, especially with the gay sex. And to me, writing the gay characterization and writing some real gay sex into a network show is to right the wrong of all the straight sex that you see on TV. So he's saying this was his specific agenda. But there is no agenda. Psalm 119. Oh, where do I want to start? I want to start here. All right, turn the page. These beautiful thin pages, gold leafed in my Messianic Jewish Family Bible. Verse 9, Psalm 119, I'm reading from the Tree of Life version. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it, according to your word. With my whole heart have I sought you. Let me not stray from your mitzvot. Those are God's commandments. I have treasured your word in my heart so I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, Adonai. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I rehearse all the rulings of your mouth. I rejoice in the way of your testimonies above all wealth. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I will delight in your decrees. I will never forget your word. Do good to your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes so I may behold wonders from your Torah. I'm a temporary dweller on earth. Do not hide your mitzvot from me. My soul is crushed with longing for your judgments at all times. And he goes on, the word in our heart, the word in our life. Oh, there's a beautiful graphic right next to that of a religious Jewish man reading from the Torah as other Jews gather together. Friends, if you don't yet have your copy of the Messianic Jewish Family Bible, there are major ministries where you send a love gift of $100 or more to get it. They know it's that wonderful a resource. We've reduced the price. It's $60, postage paid, so we've taken $10 off the list price, plus we're paying the postage. It's beautiful. It's the Tree of Life version. You won't be disappointed. Go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. We had this last week. We got such a great response. We extended it one more week. Go to my website. You'll see there a 1.5-minute video where I talk about the Bible, present it to you. Go there, check it out, and order for yourself, or call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. A few other things I want to talk to you about. Remember, if you missed the announcement, tomorrow I'll be talking with Newsweek journalist Kurt Eichenwald, who wrote the article that got a lot of attention, sparked a lot of controversy. I called it a screed. Others called it a hit piece against the Bible. The Newsweek article came out at Christmas time. The Bible so misrepresented, it's a sin. Newsweek graciously allowed me to write an extensive rebuttal, even longer than the initial 16-page piece. And my piece got a lot of response, thankfully. I'm sure Kurt's initial piece as the cover story got massive, massive responses as well, far, far more than mine would have. But I'm so pleased that we had the opportunity to respond on Newsweek. And as I talk with Kurt, I found he wanted to talk on the phone before he came on the air or anything, but he was open to be on the air right from the start. I think you'll be surprised by who he is and by what he has to say in the midst of the very real differences that we will have and that we will discuss. So if you had a specific question on the article, it's not a day to attack him. He's coming on as my guest. But if you had a specific question, then by all means, we're going to be taking some calls as well tomorrow. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me switch gears. There is a boy whose story about going to heaven was published. Not the one that was made into a movie and that came out last year, but the book, of course, got a lot of attention, and here he went to heaven and when he was in a coma, and now, what is he, about 16? He's a teenager. He said he made the whole thing up. It's not true. He just realized that it was a way to get attention, and apparently he feels strongly about Scripture. Scripture is our guide, and that's what we go to. Let me say this. The fact that he made it up and that others have made up stories as well doesn't mean that it's all made up. The fact that he made it up doesn't mean that others have not had a legitimate near-death experience. Now, I started reading a book by a scientist or philosopher. I'm trying to remember. I was not familiar with him. And he explained how it is that he came to believe in the existence of life outside of the physical realm. The phenomenon of human consciousness, which atheists cannot explain scientifically, or how consciousness evolved, which sets us apart from the rest of the world, sets us apart from the animal world, and the plant world, sets us apart from every other species and entity, human consciousness that cannot be explained scientifically. Oh, we know you can manipulate the brain and get all kinds of effects and feelings and responses. That's understood. But the existence of a soul, of something that exists outside of the physical body, is not something that can be scientifically determined, at least with the limitations on science that we currently have. And science needs to realize, it's one thing if you can demonstrate, I'll use a mathematical equation to make a scientific point, 1 + 1 = 2. It's one thing if you can demonstrate that oxygen is H2O. Okay, fine. But it's another thing to recognize that there are realms beyond the knowledge or touch of current science, that there are things that exist that science doesn't know about. Now, I can't demonstrate right now that, say, there is a spiritual world with angels and demons in it that science can't see and touch, but let's just say it is there. Science does not have the capability right now to monitor that because it cannot touch that realm. That's the only point I'm making. Well, this gentleman, whose book I'm referring to, I'm sorry, I can't even remember the name of the book. I just picked it up. I get lots of stuff, and sometimes I read a part of it and put it down. And he was talking about people who had out-of-body experiences while being operated on. So we're not talking right here about near-death experiences necessarily, although some of them may have been near-death experiences, but out-of-body experiences. And in several cases, I'll give you one, for example. There was a guy having open heart surgery. And after the operation, he began to describe what he saw. And he saw it from outside himself, looking down. Now, maybe he could have guessed certain things. Maybe he'd watched some video about open heart surgery or some movie where, you know, maybe he could have guessed certain things. But he was curious. You know, what was this one particular device over to his side, you know, this, you know, behind this shoulder over here? And they had, you know, they kept changing the dial here because the dial was set here and they're turning it down. And like, how do you know about that? Well, when my family was visiting and they were sitting out in the lobby here and you know, my wife was wearing this outfit and my son was wearing this outfit and they were talking about, you know, and they got a phone call right in the midst of it and the son got up and walked away. Who was that on the phone? What? Just like in the movie, the Boy Went to Heaven movie. And, you know, similar things like that where he saw and knew certain things. Or do you know that I actually was out of my body? This is, you know, again, these medically documented cases. Yeah, I was out of my body and I actually saw the hospital. And do you know there's a pair of sneakers, blue sneakers, tied together that are on the top of the roof of the hospital? What are you talking? They go and they find it, you know, and too high for someone to just throw up there. And how do these people know this? The documenting of consciousness and the fact that some people have had these real experiences indicates that there is life beyond the material realm. There is life beyond the physical realm. And are there people who have had near-death experiences or people here? Mickey Robinson, I know him personally, I've ministered with him at different times. If you see him, you'll notice that immediately that half of his face is disfigured from burns. And, you know, he gives you his hand to shake. He's got a hand that's disfigured from burns. He was in a plane crash. He was not a believer. He comes out of he survives. thanks. H2O. Water is H2O, not oxygen. my tremendous scientific knowledge. Once again, did I actually say? Oh, okay. I actually said oxygen is H2O, and science knows that. Yeah. Was that a mental error, or did I not realize that? It could potentially be either one. It could potentially be just a slip of the mind, or that, or that I actually didn't know that I got it wrong. That's why I tell you I'm not a scientist. Okay, sorry about that. Thanks. Thank you for carefully listening, caller. For all those who listened and didn't even bat an eyelash because you didn't catch it. Anyhow, yeah, that'll be my next book. You know, Joey, I'm going to write that book tonight in about 30 seconds, What I Know About Science. Actually, there's certain things I have learned over the years, but probably a few blind spots still there. Okay, where in the world was I? I was somewhere tremendously important. I'm sure I was a moment ago before I distracted myself. Okay, there, Mickey Robinson survives a plane crash. His body is physically on fire. Okay, he's terribly burned over parts of his body, terribly burned. He's had surgeries and all that, but, you know, terribly burned. He's in agony. He is at the point of death. And then, as I recall his story, he finds himself in a worse agony, and it's the agony of hell. And God basically says to him, are you going to serve me or not? And he knew that to live for God would mean first being back physically in his body and having to go through the hell, the earthly hell of rehabilitation and all of the treatments he would have to endure, but he gave his life to the Lord. I do believe those things can happen. I don't base my doctrine of heaven or hell based on anybody's experiences. I based it on Scripture. And if it turned out that every story was a lie, the word is true. And if it turned out that the stories were true, the word is no more true. But just because someone says my story was a lie doesn't mean that others are a lie, number one. But it is a caution. And this is number two. It is a caution. Don't base your beliefs, your doctrine on those things. If someone's experience is real and helps bring you into a deeper experience in God, fine. But ultimately, you have to know God for yourself. And it's the Word of God that provides our firm foundation. All right, we will be right back. I may get to one more subject or I may get to your calls. Try to get to your calls, 866-34-TRUTH.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Yeah, someone called in suggesting the book I was talking about. No, it's a different book. I imagine there are others, but thank you for the call and the suggestion. Let's just say I'm almost sure it's a different book. H2O, the components of water. That's right. Maybe you have an exam you're going in for, and that's the one thing you need it. We're going to help you with that. If you're just tuning in, wondering what that's about, don't worry about it. Okay, to the phones, Miguel in Salt Lake City, Utah. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing, brother?
Doing well, thank you.
Great. Listen, I don't know if you know, we have the Sundance Film Festival that comes out every year, and it's going on now. And mm-hmm. I have a friend of mine who, the friend and pastor here in Ogden, Utah, who invited me to go see this movie, and it's called I Am Michael, and I guess it's based on an article of a man who left a homosexual lifestyle to become a pastor, and they made a movie of it. James Franco's in it. I don't know if you know anything about it, if you could shed some light on it.
Oh, sure do. Yeah, absolutely. This is a young man now married, and his name is Michael Glazier, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, and he was not just living homosexual lifestyle involved with other men. He was actually publishing a youth related magazine for gays, and basically through God working in his life, renounced that is not seeking to shout this all around the country. In other words, he came out of the gay lifestyle, out of homosexuality. He explained from his perspective what was wrong about it and the addictive nature of it and other things like that. And of course, he got vilified and blasted for it. Went to Bible school. I'm in touch with him periodically. And Joey, just do me a favor. Grab the details on I Am Michael. I just want to make sure I gave the right name there. As I said it, I realized I may have been confusing the last name because I just know him as Michael. But we've interacted, and he seems to be a solid Jesus-centered man. We've never met. We've just interacted by email. His marriage, his commitment to the Lord, his desire to lead people to Jesus, his Christ-centeredness, his going to a Bible school quietly and not trying to become a national celebrity over this, you know, as he was getting grounded in the Lord. And now this movie coming out about him. I don't know about the movie. I'm going to have to ask him how he feels about it now that it's actually out. But to me, if the movie tells the story accurately, wonderful. We need 1,000 stories like that out for the entire nation to see and hear, to recognize there are people like him. Yeah, and Joe, if we can just see the name of the gentleman that's portraying, that would be great. So have you heard anything about it or reaction at Sundance? I've been so swamped with so many other things, I did not realize this was the time of the release and all of that, but have you heard anything or followed anything with it?
Myself, I looked up some stuff last night on the internet, and apparently in the movie he's got his lover, his partner, And he's played by, and I don't know the guy's name, but he played Spock in Star Trek, the newest edition of Star Trek, the young guy. And he is homosexual in real life. And so I read...
Yeah, Michael. Yeah, I said Glazer. It's Michael Glatz, G-L-A-T-Z-E. That's who's being played. Got it.
Okay. And the thing is that we want to go see this movie. But like I was telling my friend, I go, you know, I don't know if... Are they going to shed real light on this? Are they going to make it look like he had a struggle between his homosexuality and serving the Lord or being a pastor? Or is it going to be a mockery or what? You know what I mean? I want to see it, but I want to go in with my eyes open and not in the dark. You know what I mean? I want to know that.
Yeah. When I asked Michael how he felt now that there was all this attention on him, you know, when he came out of homosexuality, rejected it. As a former gay activist, he made his statement very plainly and very clearly. And so he made a statement then and absolutely put himself in the public eye. But then, just having the sense to do it or God working in his life, he really withdrew from a lot of it for discipleship, for grounding in God. And then, as I said, got married. So I only interacted with him. How are you feeling with this coming out? What's going on? And I honestly don't know how it's portrayed. All I'd encourage you to do is this, to go see the movie. If there's something objectionable or you feel is wrong to sit through, then you may have to get up and leave. If you know there may be, okay, they're going to show his old life and now him coming out of it, if it's not objectionable to sit through, I'd obviously want to find out. But I'm going to shoot him a note and ask him, has he seen it? What can he tell me about it? And let the controversy flow. But hopefully, I'm just looking at Wikipedia as we're talking, and this is the way it's described. The film stars so-and-so. James Franco plays Michael Glatz in the film, a gay activist who denounces homosexuality and becomes a Christian pastor. The controversial true story depicts a gay activist, Michael Glatz, who rejects his homosexuality and becomes a Christian pastor. I don't know that he's actually a pastor right now, but certainly preparing for ministry-related work. When he wrote his stories, when was that? That was back in 2007. And anyway, so let's keep our eyes on it. If you do see it, let us know. And I'll interact with Michael and see if he wants to come on the air to talk about it. I think it's, when's it being released? In a few more days? Is that it?
We're thinking about seeing it next Thursday, I think it is.
Next Thursday.
29th.
Got it. All right, well, please, if you do see it, try to call, see if you can get through and give us a call. If not, shoot a note through the website. I've got to run right out of time, but thank you for alerting me to that. I just was not aware that this is when it was coming out. And at the very least, if it does show him changing and does portray that, I mean, why Hollywood would want to show that is a mystery to me. But let it be, because these stories need to get out. If it's a mockery, then you'll know why Hollywood's doing it. If they're trying to show him as a confused man in conflict, because no one could change. All right, thank you, sir, for the call. What we do know is that the word of God is true and sure, that if any man is in Jesus the Messiah, he is a new creation. The old has passed, the new has come. Let me read that to you right out of the Tree of Life version. Therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Being in Jesus, the Messiah, that's the key. And all things are possible in him. And even if you find there are parts of your life that have not been totally changed, as you persevere in him, you will find his character working its way out in your life and him being the one who helps you persevere. Get hold of the Messianic Jewish Family Bible. We've extended the special offer one more week. We've reduced the price. We're paying the postage. Only $60 postage paid. Trust me, the moment you hold it in your hands, you'll be glad you got it. Call now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, for Anderson Cooper, for all the liberal media, please don't deny a gay agenda exists. Just say, we agree with it.